Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated November 21st, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. And a little late this week here again, so how you doing this week, Asclepius?
I'm doing real well, thanks, Lord Baldrith. Yeah, they must be working really, really hard in the office there. Because, yeah, the news was out a bit late again this week. But it's been a good week as far as I'm concerned. Didn't have to work too hard. Which is always a good thing, because more time to spend in the game.
It's awesome on a new release, because there's so many things to see every new release. So, and we're getting shorter time to get our hats, so you really need it.
Yeah, that's right. This was a very short release. I'm so glad that I managed to get my hat. And, yeah, just when you start to find your way around and get used to something, bang, they drop another release on you.
I know. And it's a good thing, though, because it adds more things to do.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you what, some of that new scenery is just brilliant.
It is. They've done a wonderful job on all the new scenes and the new NPC interactivity that's going on and new waters, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. I mean, I actually took a bit of a breather the other day, probably yesterday, because I finally finished crafting my suit of armor, and that was an exercise in itself, let me tell you.
You'll bet.
Because, well, as you know, to get meteoric iron, you have to have nickel, and nickel doesn't drop very much. So I ended up with over 1,100 granite blocks as a byproduct.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen a piece of nickel drop, so that is rare.
Oh, yeah. But I finally got enough, and I made all the plates and stuff, and I'm in the meteoric iron from head to toe now, and loving it. And yeah, as I was just saying, I thought I'd try it out. So I went down to Deep Ravenswood and knocked over a patriarch bear.
I'd say that's a huge achievement. Patriarch bears are one of the highest level creatures, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, that's awesome. I would classify myself as a part-time, reasonably casual player. I'm not one of the power gamers. And for me to get to be able to do that, because my health is only just ticked over 300, so it's not huge. But, yeah, to be able to do that in this space of time, yeah, I'm pretty chuffed.
I tried to kill one myself, even with the much improved magic. My elemental was only able to hold on to him for about 200 damage, so I still had to try to take his hits for 800 of his health, and I couldn't do it even with my high healing.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah. It must be hard to find the right build. I'm sort of reasonably happy with what I've got now, but look, there are upsides, there are downsides for everything.
It's very hard because every release it changes, so you've kind of got to readjust what you were training on.
I know. And I had a fun experience just yesterday. I was walking around Owl's Head and I saw a couple of people near the entrance. And I'll give them a shout out because I thought they were doing great. It was Lady Minerva and Tyrion and somebody else. And they were kissing, would you believe? Have you seen that one?
No, I forgot. They put kissing in. I haven't seen that.
There is a kiss emote in the game now. It is brilliant. And if you've got it and you do it, it looks as if your avatar sort of leans in and puckers up.
So you've got the facial movements and everything, huh?
Yeah, you have. It's brilliant. And, you know, if I did it to you, which I probably won't do, by the way, just to reassure you.
Yeah.
But the little text box says Asclepius is kissing Baldrith passionately.
That's great.
Ah, it's lovely. And then there's another emote that Minerva taught me. There's a boo emote.
The boo, huh? So your avatar boos?
Yeah. And if you exercise that one, you basically put your thumbs in your ears, waggle your fingers at somebody, and you're shouting boo at them.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like that is so funny, yeah. Now, apparently the kiss emote, for everybody's benefit, there is apparently a lady in Ardoris that you can speak to that will tell you about love and send you on a bit of a quest, and you'll learn the kiss emote. Now, if you learn it from her, you can reteach it. If you've learned it from somebody else, you can't reteach it.
Oh, that's very cool. So now we have some quests for our emotes.
You do. Exactly. Yes.
I definitely need to take a trip down there and see if I can figure that out. That sounds pretty fun.
Oh, it is fun. It is fun. But then, of course, I had a bit of fun. I booed at Tyrion, who good-naturedly challenged me to a duel. And I said, yeah, all right, why not, you know, have a bit of fun. And apparently he's fairly good, shall we say. And he killed me very quickly.
Yeah, I think Tyrion was the one Themalok was saying was really hard to beat. So yeah, he's probably tough.
Yeah, he is. And I found out what happens when you engage in a PvP match and lose.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah. You get a little pop-up saying, you know, you've lost the PvP match, da-da, and there is a price to pay, and the Oracle has determined your price. And I lost my plate boots.
The ones you just crafted?
The ones I just crafted, yes.
That is not cool.
No. Ah, but it gets better. It's all right. Because evidently the mechanism is if you want them back, you can pay a ransom for them or something like that. And, okay, that's fine. So either you lose a piece of gear that the Oracle has randomly selected, or you can pay some money and get it back. But you know the beautiful part? And this is what convinces me we're playing with a really good bunch of people in the community here. Tyrion sort of had a look at it, and he said to me, you're an honourable person. And he declined to take the spoils.
Oh, that was nice of him.
That was absolutely awesome. I appreciated that so much because, I mean, it probably would have been like taking candy from a baby for him. But I thought that was an incredibly honourable gesture. There was a little tombstone-like thing appearing at that location where I dropped with an oracle symbol on it. And I thought, yeah, what the heck is that? So I clicked on it and it said, yeah, you've got your goods back. I said, oh, thank you.
Yay, your new armour.
So there you go. That's how PvP is going to work from now on.
Well, that's kind of cool. So you can choose whether to just take everything or not.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you lose a PvP match, you are going to lose something. And if your opponent decides, yeah, fine, I'll have that, thanks, you either lose it or you pay some ransom for it and you can get it back.
Now, on the other hand, he might have got your head, Asclepius' head or something that you'll see on his mantle.
Well, curiously, yes. Much later on, I was sorting stuff out and reorganizing stuff into chests and putting all my crafting stuff in various places and whatever, and I saw this odd item in my inventory, the skull of Asclepius.
Oh, so you kept it.
I kept it. He could have taken it. And he probably could have put it on his mantelpiece.
But you got your own head back. Hey, that worked.
Yeah,
out.
I think I've still got my own head.
Yeah, a copy of your own head.
Yes. So, oh, look, that's weird. Yeah, if you win a PvP match, you get a trophy, a bit of a body part from your opponent that you can take home and display.
I think that's awesome. I'm glad they're doing that. It gives us, you know, a lot more depth to our decoration.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, yeah, it's a bit of an eerie feeling if you walk into someone's house and see your own head on the wall there.
Yeah, I said, oh, no, I died here.
it enriches the game. And, yes, I keep telling myself when I get a bit stronger and a bit better at all of this, I'll have a go at PvP. I suck majorly at the moment, but it is fun.
Oh, it is. It's good to experience all of the aspects of the game just to kind of see what it's like.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it does get the adrenaline flowing, and you really need good reflexes, and you need to know what you're doing. But, yeah, it's worth it. And I think if they can entice more people into it, and it's not quite as frightening, it'll be a good addition to the game.
That's right, yeah. That's the good thing. Anybody that, you know, doesn't normally PvP could still have fun doing it if they do it right.
Well, that's right. But, that was good. And the other good thing I loved is, we're talking about the new treatment they've given the water. That is just beautiful. If you look around the water's edge now, it looks just like the edge of the ocean, with froth and little wavelets coming into the shore. It is just brilliant.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a little more depth in our water really needed.
Oh, it is. And then when you have one of these little dinghies sitting at the edge of the jetty, when you go out to click on it, that's your transport to somewhere else, the little dinghy sort of bobbing up and down on the tide. And that's lovely.
Oh, it is. And it makes for a nice little scene where you can just take it all in.
Ah, oh, you could just sit there and look at it. I think if anybody's walking around Novia in the next day or so, and they say great big furrows in the ground, that's me with my jaw hanging open and hitting the ground. It is awesome.
That's great. It's kind of like the new snow that I've seen. It's just gorgeous, you know, the big snowballs falling down. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And I had the opportunity, took a bit of time to walk around the full length and breadth of Wizard's Rest, and that is just a gorgeous place too. It really is. With the frozen lake in the middle, the surface you can walk over, the glistening ice on it, it's just beautiful.
It's definitely a scene to be seen. It's beautiful.
Oh, it absolutely is. And then on the other end of the continent, you got the sort of a tropical viewpoint from Rift's End. And Kavau has invested in a balloon, so you can see the balloon as you pull up at the jetty, and that's an awesome sight.
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually walked onto a balloon, so it'll be something to see.
Oh, it's lovely. The view from the basket is just gorgeous.
Oh, that's great. It's kind of like on top of a boat, huh? It's just beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's much higher. So, yeah, pop up to Rift's End any time and come and climb the balloon.
Oh, for sure. I will definitely do that and take a peek.
Good on ya. Okay, well, here we are. The news update number 152. Player 24, the Brittany Graveyard, player run postal service, new instruments, holiday items, and more. And we have, well, firstly, playing release 24, which is, I'll tell you what, it's an awesome release. It really is.
There's a great lot of stuff to see and do now.
Ah, oh, for sure. And there we are, successfully launched, checking out the new changes, lots of new content, There's all the new scenes, Nightshade Pass, Moriah Overlook, the Brittany Outlander Graveyard, and etc. Lots of winter holiday content. Localization started, and all that stuff. That's great. And there's a scene from the Fire Lotus Release 24 party. Looks as if they're having a great time there.
Yes, lots of mixtures of decorations and attire that people are wearing. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely. Yeah, I'll have to try and get to one of those one day, because they just do look so much fun.
Yes, definitely.
And did you notice even the locking in process is just a little different? The graphics, text, as you log in, it's just changed a little.
I love to see interface changes, because that just means they're starting to get to the stuff that people talk about a lot, so that's good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's really, really nice. And they've got the Release 24 instructions update. Which is always good. And I love the way Darkstar puts it. He says, has it really been 2 years and 24 releases? Were we really so crazy as to let our backers in before we had all the features in place, much less the content? Have we really been able to work together as a community of backers and developers to make something this special? It's a big resounding yes to all of those questions. And we have each of you to thank for it. Thank you for being patient with us as we try this new way to make games. Thank you for allowing us to take more time and, yes, spend more money. Thank you for letting us make some mistakes and then letting us try to correct them. Thank you for letting us balance fulfilling our Kickstarter and pledge promises against making changes we all feel will make a better game. And thank you for understanding when at times we've had to make some painful compromises. Most of all, thank you for being here with us. And that's just an awesome start to the story. That's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yep. And as he says, this was supposed to be short. It wasn't going to be much content, though it was going to be polishing and fixing bugs and stuff. But that isn't quite what happened. Apparently they started working on their alpha punch list when they were finishing R23. As they alluded to in the last postmortem, they've got this board in the office, a countdown to alpha, and this is what they want to get done. And they thought, well, yeah, they could probably get a few more things in. And they could probably get a few more things in by R24. And it just became a bit of a flood, and it almost became ridiculous. Because we've got multiple new scenes, we've got pickpocketing skill, more instruments, mystery boxes, snowball throwing, NPC renaming, and more feminine clothing options. And there you go. So, basically, a huge swathe of content. And it is lovely to see.
I forgot they put the snow boxes and the mystery boxes, and I need to go try to find mine and check them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll have to check those out and see if they work.
My biggest problem is I'll take some of my, you know, my decoration items and spread them around my different houses, so it's hard to figure out where everything went.
Yes. Yeah, you need a roadmap.
Yeah, I need a butler that fetches. That's what I've been asking for. But,
That's right. Yes, yes. Jeeves, go and get the snowballs.
So I can pelt you with them.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Okay, so, yeah, they're expanding the story. Now, they delayed the hilt interior, but they spent more time polishing Nightshade Pass. And I tell you what, that really lived up to all the things they've said in the last few weeks, I thought.
Yeah, one of the tour guides, they put over pretty close to that troll, so they got a good view of him.
Yeah. So what a beautiful, beautiful area. Just walking through that narrow cleft into the pass, you can see the statues in the distance walking along the path. Yes, you do have to walk past the troll, but if you run, you can get there. You'll be fine.
He does throw rocks at you. He hit me with a few of them, and I didn't get knocked down, luckily, so I was able to get away.
Yeah, I think his aim's getting better.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, he hit me a few times.
Yeah, he's quick.
Yeah.
It's not good for us.
I half thought about taking him on, but then I decided fairly quickly, no, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, because what his rocks do to you is nothing compared to his club.
Yeah, that's right. And then if he actually steps on you, yeah, that's going to be bad news.
Yeah, all that new armor is just going to break.
Yes. So, but that is a beautiful scene. That was a delight to see. That was really lovely. And we have the city of Exeter, which is another new one. Bordering the Bay of Storms, it's run by satyrs. Now that were interesting too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And just purely by luck, I was talking to the guard as you go through the gate, and you learn another emote just by talking to him.
Which one's that?
Yeah, good question. I got a memory blank. It's something derisive. It's a mocking kind of emote, I think.
So they've added some emotes that we didn't even know. So there's like some hidden ones.
Yeah, that's right. So we are going to have to walk around and talk to everybody now so that we don't miss out on anything.
I guess that's probably part of the plan they had for us, so that we'd be forced to explore, to learn new awesome things.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's great fun. And then we got the Moriah Overlook. Yeah, that was a great little town too. Love the snow. And I was there, the snow was falling. And the snow's that thick you can't walk up the hills. It's great.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool scene. Is that the scene that has that stage on it with the skeletons that look like they're in mid-performance?
It does, yes. Yes. Yeah, the two skeletons on the stage, one kneeling down, holding a skull. And I can just imagine they're trying to perform the Shakespearean play. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. A man of infinite jest.
Oh, so funny.
I think that was Hamlet. Yeah. But yeah, they're there. And yeah, great place.
Yeah, I got myself in the middle of that play and took a picture. It was pretty fun.
Ah, tremendous. That's lovely. And I ran around for a while looking for the tour guide, but eventually found him hiding behind the stairs.
Yeah, there's people there that they're very generic, that says archer, bandit. These guys have names one day, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I was a little pleased with myself this time. I found pretty much all the tour guides by myself, and I didn't have to resort to the video, and that's unusual.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised too. It's hard when these are new areas. You can talk to the tour guide though, and he'll tell you, well, it's kind of in the middle of Novia here. It's like, in the middle of Novia, I don't quite know where that is either.
Yeah, Novia's getting to be a big place, isn't it?
Oh, it's big, and you don't have any idea your orientation is till you're on the right, the left, the top, the bottom. How would you know?
I know. Look, I've found a couple of maps that people have put up on the forum, and they are just brilliant. Without those, I'd be stuffed.
You know, that's a good idea, to have one of those open while you're wandering. That way, when you run into a place, you can see where you are.
That's for sure. They are going to send out a cloth one eventually, aren't they?
Yeah, I need that cloth one. I'm going to put that on my wall, and then I will never get lost again. Hopefully.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And they've done the graveyard. That is just a brilliant, brilliant piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah. The graveyard's really cool with all the tombstones there and just the little wagons. It's a lot of good details there.
Absolutely. You know, I have never seen it in the flesh, obviously. I've only seen it on TV. But I thought that reminds me of what I would think Arlington Cemetery would look like. And then I saw in the forum, yes, that is in fact what gave them the inspiration. So that's just cool.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't think I've ever been there either.
No, no. Well, a lot of people haven't. But, yeah, many hundreds or thousands of servicemen buried there. And, yeah, look, it's a mark of respect. It's a very solemn, respectful place. And that's, I think, the atmosphere they're trying to create.
It is. Isn't that where they're going to let us put our customized tombstones?
Yes. Yes, in a future release, apparently, the gravestones will contain the names that we choose to represent our, quote, ancestors. So, I don't know whether that's our own name or whether they'll ask us, well, who was your ancestor who came into this land? What name do you want to put on your tombstone? That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I guess we could put something related to our name so you could tell us who we are.
Well, that's right, yeah. Because according to the law that they are putting out and giving us, you know, there was an earlier wave of outlanders appeared. But they sadly didn't share our immortality. So when they eventually met their demise, they were interred in this massive graveyard on the outskirts of Brittany, where most had made their homes. And they were buried here, separate from other Novians due to the inherent distrust most Novians harbour towards outlanders. So there you go, there was a first wave of outlanders, whenever that was.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, indeed. Okay, they've started localization, which is great. They've beginning selecting leaders from volunteers in the community. Translation has begun, which is awesome.
That's great. They're going to put how many languages in first?
Well, three that I can see: German, French, and Spanish. And as you log in now, you can select which language you want to play the game in. Although, as the content hasn't been translated yet, it's not going to have any effect.
Yeah, I didn't notice that option. Did you see that when you were logging in?
I did, yes. Yes. So there's an awful amount that has to be translated. So best of luck to them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, every NPC, every single thing you run into.
That's for sure. But good luck to them. That's an awesome job. And it'll be brilliant for everybody around the world when they get it done.
For sure, the people that don't grasp English as well will do great. They'll be able to to see the game in its fullest.
That's right. And then we've got weather, as we were talking. Yeah, more kinds of weather, like snow, which is wonderful. And we'll have seasonal variations and types of weather ranging from clear right through to a storm. I haven't seen a storm yet. That'll be interesting.
I haven't either. I've seen the snow coming down, but it didn't look like it was quite storming.
No, no. And combat has changed, yes. I think combat's doing well this release.
I'd say it's a whole lot better because now everybody at least has some power. I love it.
Yeah, brilliant. And they've explained the pickpocket's skill, which is really good. And interesting, you have to be in PvP. So the thief and the victim must both be flagged, or you're inside an open PvP zone, or in a guild at war with each other. So when guild warfare happens, it could happen. But yeah, So if somebody successfully picks your pocket, he can obtain items via the same rule as ransom, except the thief's name is hidden. So you probably get a little message saying somebody's just stolen your gauntlets or your helm. Do you want to pay a ransom for it?
Yeah, I wonder if you have a chance to seek revenge on that. That would be quite frustrating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. But yes, the only comforting thing is if you're not in PvP, it'll never happen to you. So that's all right. That's good.
Yeah, that's that would be all the more of a problem when you were, oh, great. Now I've got to figure out if I need to go into PvP and go get somebody or what.
That's right. Yeah. But that'll be a lot of fun. And, oh, the next item, that actually does make sense. The undead are now immune to spells and skills that rely on living targets. You know, like drain life. I mean, if they're dead already, how can you drain their life?
That's true. And, you know, I was over there fighting those large skeleton archers and footmen. They don't go down very good. They tend to get back up.
Yeah, they do. Funny that. It's just not right.
Didn't they say they were going to die easier with magic? I don't think so.
That was one of the earlier messages, yes, several releases ago. Yeah, I think they said that if you killed them with magic, it was more reliable. But it looks as if they're still going to get up a variable number of times. But I think the maximum is 3.
I was getting 3 every time, so I'm not sure.
Oh, dear. Gee, that's tough.
And they take everything I got. I need to kill them once or twice. I'm out of mana. Then, ew. Yeah, it's ugly because they're hard to kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, but I can report I successfully killed a ghost.
Oh, really? You got a ghost down? That's great.
I got a ghost. Mind you, I had to cheat a bit because, yeah, I got him down. But then I was down at about 20% health. So I ran away around the corner and waited for a while and got my health and mana back and then went back and confronted him again. Well, of course, by then he's on his second life or his first regeneration, and hit him again and he goes down permanently.
Oh, that's great. So you got him in 2. That was really cool.
Yeah, I had to do it in stages like that. I couldn't just stay there and hit him as soon as he got up. I didn't have the strength for that. But, hey, it's still a good feeling.
That's what I was doing with the zombies. I was keeping my distance, and I want the plague, because I have my Purify out of combat bar. So, and those things are wearing full plate mail, if you've seen them now. They're really wild.
Oh, yes. So where were you fighting them?
Let's see. I think I was in the Restless Woods. Might have been where I was.
Okay. Yeah, that's starting to get a little bit hairy.
I used to do better there. I think it's either harder or I'm weaker. I'm not sure which, but it's definitely a challenge. A lot of undead.
Yeah. But, and they've explained the combat skills, which is really good. Because I think it's a nice change. It'll probably help a lot of people. Because what they were doing that was using the base weapon skill for the 2-hit roll, and then the actual level for effectiveness, which I didn't understand for a while until I read it about 3 times. But I think it means that, see, I'm up to about 88 or something in blades now, which is
very
great.
Good.
Yeah. So they probably calculate, okay, my chance to hit somebody is 88. Whatever that means, whether it's a percentage or some magic number, whatever. So, okay, 88 to hit. Now that you've hit, how much damage are you going to actually do? And if you hit with a rend or a coup de grace, and your skill in that is only 20, well, you're going to do 20 damage, or a multiple or a variable of 20. And a lot of people were just getting that first number up by auto-attack. And that seemed out of balance. I thought, well, that's more important. No, not. So now they're going to combine them. So it's add them together and divide them by 2. And that's for both the two hit and the damage. And that sort of makes sense, I think.
It does. Well, I noticed that on the passive. You know, you work everything together, but the passives don't move nearly as fast as the main attacks.
Yeah. That's right. So now, you know, I'd be looking at a combined score of 130 or thereabouts. So to hit, 65. How much damage are you going to do? 65. Or a variable of that. So I've noticed I am doing more damage, which is great.
Yeah, me too. I've got my water attunement up to 40, so I'm doing pretty good with my ice arrows and stuff.
Nice. That's beautiful.
But I get destroyed by those mages because they shoot fire at you, so yeah, you get that.
Oh, that's hard. That is hard. Yeah.
And yeah, nobody shoots ice as far as I can see. Everybody's doing fire right now.
That sucks. Anyway, but... Oh, you can get out of route a little bit easier. Okay, people were saying that was overpowered, so perhaps they've nerfed that a little bit.
Hopefully they did the same with the spider webs.
Yeah, they're tough. Yeah, Healing Grace is pretty powerful. I must have a look at that.
Yeah, that's a good spell.
Oh, good. Critical hit's gone up. Hey, there you go, for magic. Your chance to get one and the damage have gone up by 50%.
Yeah, I'm hitting my sun damages. I've hit over 200 damage with a sun spell before, and it's actually lower than my ice. So, it's nice, though.
That's good. Lovely.
It's not very often, though, so anybody that says it's overpowered, it's not.
No, it happens occasionally, but not all the time, but for sure.
But you usually need it when it happens, so it's like, oh, good, I've killed them once.
Oh, great. Lovely. Yeah, I think... And I even saw a post by Themo Locke saying, this is now balanced. So that's really encouraging him, and if anybody would know, he would.
That's right. He definitely has tested the whole realm of things, so I like to hear that from him, too, because I actually feel like it's more balanced. So I was definitely in agreement with that.
Yep, for sure. Yep, so yeah, a lot of the new things. New water, as we mentioned. Brilliant. And new musical instruments. We've got the flute, the drum, and the harp. Lovely.
Yeah, they all sound great. The harp sounds distinctively different than everything else, so it's cool.
Magic. And we got the clockwork dogs, cats, horses and foals, donkeys, turkey, reindeer, doe, mystery boxes. Whole heap of stuff. Okay. And the Grand Tour quest. Just as in the last several, they've included a Grand Tour quest to get a Pilgrim Bonnet. And yes, I've got it. I haven't tried it on yet because I think it might look a bit strange.
No, I tried it on because I'm crazy and I thought it was definitely not my style.
Fair enough. But look, all of the lovely ladies out there, I'm sure they will find it gorgeous.
It's a very nice compliment to the other tour guide Thanksgiving hat.
Yes, it is. So that'll be great. And yes, and here we have another photo of the Fire Lotus Release 24 party. Another couple of screenshots. That's brilliant. It was held in the garden in the centre of hometown.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, thanks to all the players who decorated it, which is a pretty awesome achievement, really, considering they had very little time.
Yeah, we got some awesome decorators in this game, and it shows.
Oh, we have. And to Avatars Radio for producing the release parties, Lord Blake Blackstone for hosting it, and Lady Fire Lotus for DJing. Great. And they've put out patch notes, as is always the way. In a new release, there's always bugs that turn up, and they rush around like crazy and fix them, sometimes before you even notice them, which is awesome.
It is.
And, as we were mentioning, as some people might have noticed, poor old Darkstar put out a post this morning, saying most of the player-owned towns are broken. Oh dear, Sorry, we're looking for a fix.
Yeah, that's always freaky. Oh, no.
Yeah. And then about half an hour later, he said, yeah, we found the problem, working on it. And shortly thereafter, so yeah, we think we fixed it. And overall, it took about 5 hours to isolate the problem, fix it, write a new bit of code. Probably everybody in the office got down and tested the thing like crazy just to make sure it was working. It passed the sanity test, uploaded it, and there we go, we've got another patch.
Yeah, there was like three. There was a whole bunch of patches yesterday, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and now Brittany Graveyard now has proper exits. Okay, I thought they were working before. But there you go.
Yeah, I went through the gate and left. I guess not.
Right, yeah. Oh, this is interesting. There are two versions of Exeter in the game. Don't know how that happened. But, yeah, if you claim property there, you'll have to zone to your home to get to the proper version.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I wonder what the other version is.
I have no idea. Maybe they have a couple of instances of Exeter that got jumbled in, and probably people rushed into one of them and claimed property there. And people have claimed property in the other one. Oh, what do you do? Oh, just leave them both live for the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. The headaches of being a game developer, it must just be amazing.
Oh, yeah, especially on every release.
That's right. But there you go. So, yeah, if there's any confusion, and if you have managed to claim a property in Exeter, don't try to walk home, just zone home. That'll be fine. Okay, and the next article, yes, the making of Brittany Graveyard. And, wow, doesn't that look... Isn't that just an awesome photograph?
Oh, it's totally gorgeous. The graveyard is huge, too. There's a lot of people that died.
It is, actually. Yeah. And as somebody mentioned in the forum, when it eventually happens, if we ever want to, it'll be a challenge to find our own gravestone.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how you would. There's so many.
Yeah. The only way I can think of is, I think somebody suggested, having a curator or a guide or a crier at the entrance. And you say, I'm looking for the gravestone for da-da-da-da-da. And like in the towns, you can put it on your compass and it'll direct you to it.
Wouldn't it be kind of neat if you could put flowers on some graves that you like?
Yes, it would. Look, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened. The game's becoming so realistic in every other respect. Yep, you probably could. And maybe after a predetermined time, like 2 or 3 days, they would just disappear.
Oh, sure, they would die. You know, that's like any normal grave, and then they've got the guy that goes around and cleans things up, yeah.
That's right. There you go. That would be awesome. Okay, and we have a postal service. This is the first postal service established in New Britannia. And I think, yeah, great idea. Last night, Port Phoenix and Serenite established the first ever permanent two-way mail delivery service. The first run was done from Serenite to Port Phoenix and back. It was all recorded and posted on video, and they've got the video there. Did you take a look at that one?
I actually haven't seen the video. I did see the thread, though. I was looking through that.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite a fun video. It's nice. Yeah. So Duke Violation shot that. He was running behind EMP Strike, who was delivering the mail. They had just started out with a letter and ran all the way from one place to another. And they've got a couple of chests in each town, one for incoming mail, one for outgoing. So look, if someone wants to send a letter, a parcel, an item, whatever it is, from town A to town B, just contact the postal service.
So this is the first try at the mail system in our game, you know?
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah, it's great. And I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, yeah, since there's the tools are not there yet, this is definitely a good way to get started.
Yeah. And it said, so far, in 48 hours, people from four different clusters in 13 main towns, and accounting for almost 50 total player-owned towns, jumped on board. So I think there could well be a demand for this.
Oh yeah, it'd definitely be an easier way to get your mail back and forth than having to hoof it yourself every time.
Well, that's right. And if you need or want to send goods, letters, gold, materials, stuff like that, from one end of Novia to the other, it looks as if you'll be able to do it. Just go to the post office, deposit it there, they'll take it for you. And there might be a bit of a fee, but I'm sure that'll all be worked out.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and a bit of a comedy. Roth Phoenix posted, "The irony is the first delivery to Serenite was a shipment of Port Phoenix brochures, so it was junk mail."
Yeah, that sounds good, though.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Oh, lovely. Okay. And next item, we're going public with the daily stand-up notes, which is probably a good idea.
That's great. I didn't know they were going to do that. Cool.
No. No. They say, as many of you know, we strive to be as transparent as possible to our backers through weekly updates, monthly releases, and quarterly schedule updates. Also, post the daily stand-up notes to the founder section of the forums. That read-only section was created to satisfy the founder pledge reward of basically developer blog access, which promised, yeah, you will be privy to the game development process before it is live. So you can look in there and you can actually see day by day who's doing what and what are they working on today, which is great. And they say, among other content, it was where they put their daily stand-up notes. It unfortunately placed them behind a $65 paywall, which is a $20 increase from the base pledge. And on top of that, because it was read-only, the only way the backers could discuss it was to be Dev Plus, so that then they're behind a $550 paywall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless you've paid a bit, you can't even read it. And unless you've paid a fair bit, you can't talk about it. So they had some feedback. They soul-searching. They thought, well, the stand-up notes should be public information. And additionally, discussion about them should be available to everybody with forum access. And that's only $5. So, there you go, effective immediately. Eliminating the founder section of the forum, removing the developer blog access bit from the founder's pledge. All content will now be relocated to the Shroud of the Avatar Announcements and Dev Posts forum. It was formerly Community Announcements. And the stand-up notes would be posted there as a read-only thing. So there you go. Now they say they do take very seriously the removal or the expiration of any reward, but they feel the increased level of transparency that will bring is better for the project. So there you go.
I think that's a really good move. That's awesome. So everybody can see what's going on.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hope none of the, you know, Founder Plus people feel injured at all by feeling, well, they've lost a bit of exclusive reward. I think what they're saying is true. It is good for transparency. It's good for the project. And personally, just for me, I don't think it's a huge deal anyway.
Me neither. I think it's awesome. Because every time I read that, it's like, oh, I wish everybody could see this, you know?
Yeah. So that's a good thing. They're going for even greater transparency and more communication with the community. And communication is really, really important and really valuable.
Oh, it is.
So, yeah, I think that's good. All right, next item. We have musical instruments, the harp and the drum. And don't they look rather awesome?
Oh, they're totally beautiful, and the animations are awesome on them, too.
Oh, lovely. Excellent. So, we have a craftable harp and drum. They can be carried with you. They're always handy. You play them freeform. And shift and alt gives you 2 octaves. Now, have you managed to get 2 octaves yet?
Actually, I was noticing I did have, I think it's 3, because you get the ones without shift and alt, and then shift and then alt. And yeah, you do.
Oh, brilliant. Good. Excellent. Oh, when I get half a minute amidst all my exploring and building armor and decorating, I've actually started doing a bit of decorating. Yeah, I will get into it.
Yay. Yeah, I played a couple of MIDI songs on them. I did a little bit of freeform just to test out the difference of the instruments, and it was very neat. It's just neat that you can play a song on a drum. It's awesome.
Oh, beautiful. And, you know, these are going to sound so good with multiplayer files, with a whole bunch of people playing together. That's going to sound awesome.
The one thing that I was wishing for when I was playing this harp is like, isn't harp normally a real giant instrument that you stand on the floor like next to your piano? I was hoping they'd put something like that in the game one day with a little different sound, like a fuller sound or something.
Yes, you're right, it is. Yeah, harp is usually a huge instrument. Now, maybe there are smaller versions of a harp, and, well, I guess that's what they're giving us.
Right, they've got the smaller ones, too, the ones like Cupid carries around and plays, but you've seen the big ones, like in some, I've seen some old shows where they're playing a big, beautiful harp, and it just sounds great. I'm just hoping to see that, too, eventually.
Oh, yeah, and they do sound lovely. If you get someone who's skilled on the harp, that just sounds magic.
Oh, it's an amazing instrument to watch them, how their fingers are just moving. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's right. It really beats me how they can do it and be so good at it. Because, I mean, you're confronted with, you know, I don't know, 30, 50, 100 strings. How do you know which one's which? Don't ever get them wrong, especially when you're in the middle of a concert.
I know. It must just be, you know, something your fingers just kind of learn. It's just cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, well, a similar principle with violin, I suppose. There's no indication or marks where to put your fingers to create the right note. You just have to know.
Yeah, no, I actually took up the guitar for a while, and it's definitely a challenge to get everything to sound just right, get the pressure right, and just there's so many finite details to playing instruments. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad if the game makes it easy for us and we can actually make some nice sounds.
Oh, yeah, I just love the music. It's really cool. It's going to sound really great with multiple instruments going.
Oh, it will. It will. Yep. Yeah, we'll have to establish a bit of a traveling band, I think.
Oh, for sure. We'll have to play a few songs for everybody. That'd be fun.
That'd be lovely. Okay, and now we're moving into the... Oh, definitely moving into the PG area, or maybe a little bit beyond.
Yeah.
We have a Saturn bodice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that looks a little bit alluring, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. To make that special evening even more special, whether it's a night on the town or an evening at home, I wonder if we'll see any of the ladies who are game to walk around wearing this.
I've seen some pictures, and they look very nice. I've seen both the males and the females wearing them. It's a very nice outfit there.
Yeah, okay. So we have cross-dressers in the community.
Well, they allow it. It'll happen. Yes, sirree.
is funny.
I like it. It makes things more real. So it's good stuff.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah, look, it looks very attractive. It is really lovely. And yeah, it's gorgeous. And I'll be very happy to see the girls walking around wearing those. That's lovely.
Well, it makes for a very nice, if you're going out to dance or something, that's a beautiful outfit.
It is indeed. That's right. Well, we'll have to have tuxedos.
Yeah, we do have them, but I want to dye mine black because I don't like my tuxedo white.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. And we have a dark stone spiked castle wall. Nice.
Oh, yeah, this is nice, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever wanted to build a castle wall around your property? Well, now you can. With a dark stone spiked castle wall set. Available, of course, in the add-on store. It will completely enclose a town lot. So you're going to have straights, corners, tower walls, straight tower walls, gated walls, and elongated wall. Very nice.
It looks like it eats up quite a bit of land, though, is one I would not like about it myself.
Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, you're going to lose a fair bit of your usable land. I mean, it looks lovely. It's a huge sort of wall with towers and walkway and stuff. Very nice.
It's definitely beautiful, and I can see the use for it, but it depends. If you're going to do gardening or anything, that would definitely get in the way of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And interestingly, you can fit a knight marshal home on a town lot with the castle walls around it.
Okay, yeah, that'd be a kind of a nice fit, you know, because it's kind of got the same castle look to it.
It has, yeah, that's right. Yes, because that normally sits on a village lot, doesn't it?
Right, it fills a village lot nicely, yes.
Yes. So if you've got something that fills a town lot, like the Baron home, might not quite fit.
Yeah, I was wondering how that thing would fit on a city lot, if it would be a little more, a little less cluttered looking.
Oh yeah, yeah, city lot would be better. Yeah, definitely.
And would you need to buy two sets? You know, that kind
yes.
of
thing. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, and they've got a list of the minimum segments you'll need. And for a city lot, yeah, you need 10 straights and 4 corners and a long gate. So, yeah, it can be done.
And how many does the thing come with? Does it come with enough to put it on a city, or you got to buy two sets or all that?
You'd have to buy two sets because a set has 5 straight walls.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be spendy, yep.
Yes, yeah, just a bit.
They're nice, though, if you really want to go all out with your lot, yeah, for sure.
Oh, they are. If you want to have that grand castle-like appearance, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a nice look. I almost wish we had something like that. We could line our whole city wall with that kind of thing. That'd look really cool, too.
Yeah, would indeed. Okay, and we got winter holiday items. They've received community feedback requesting that seasonal items be available earlier in the season, so players would have more time to decorate their homes and towns prior to the holidays. Well, that's fair enough.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Yeah. Didn't have time to do that for the fall holidays, but did manage to get several of the winter holiday items in this release. So we have a cornucopia. That looks lovely.
It's beautiful.
And it randomly generates an edible item or ingredient per day. That's nice.
Yeah, I don't know when they're turning that on, because I tried to get some off of mine and it did not give me one as of yet.
Oh dear. Okay, that's sad. Well, I hope it starts up soon.
Oh yeah, we'll give them time.
Yeah. And here's a white turkey. That's a non-combat pet that'll follow you wherever you go.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Maybe until Thanksgiving, where you can have him for dinner.
Yeah, oh yeah, then you got the little... Maybe you got an emote where you're killing him and you're putting him on a a tray for serving. Yeah.
Yes.
That might make some people upset. But,
well, it might. That's right. Yeah, you probably shouldn't be killing your own pets.
You're probably not, depending on who they are.
That's right. But he looks a nice little turkey. And there's a Yule hat, which is even dyeable.
It's beautiful, too. It looks really good with my cloth armor.
Oh, lovely. Fantastic. Or, if you wish, a menorah. That looks pretty, too, doesn't it?
That menorah, it's like three times as good as last year's. It's gorgeous. It takes a fair bit of room, though. I put it on top of my piano, and it looks so nice.
Wonderful. Brilliant. That's lovely. You can turn the lights on and off.
Yes, I love the... I'm hoping for a lighting the candles animation eventually, but yeah, it's beautiful.
Great. And we've got tabletop Yule trees. Very nice.
They're beautiful.
And even with those, they're getting interactive so that you can turn the lights on and off.
Yes. Yeah,
more and more things are getting interactive, and that's lovely.
Yeah, because last year's tree and the year before, whenever they had them, it never did seem like it glowed very much, so they've kind of gave it some light now. Looks great.
Lovely. Yep, and if you want one outside, there's a four-story Yule tree.
Yeah, and that's awesome too.
Oh, looks brilliant, doesn't it?
It is.
Fantastic. Oh.
By the way, I couldn't get mine to work initially, and then I realized it counts as a light source, so you have to pull down one of your lights if you're trying to decorate your town with it.
Oh, okay. So yeah, if you've hit the limit, then you're stuck.
It's easy to hit your limit on that one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but you've done a really, really nice thing. You put streetlights through the town, and that helps people find their way around. That's awesome.
Yeah, I figure since we don't have signs, you know, streetlights will kind of guide you to where you need to go for the, you know, all the basic stuff is.
Yeah, that's right. But again, it uses up your quota for lights.
Yeah, we get 15. We're moving up to 20 here since they upgrade us. So you have to be very sparing with them.
True. And do we have a wreath that you can park on your wall?
Yeah, the wreath is gorgeous. Doesn't that almost look like something real, you know?
It sure does, doesn't it? Yeah, it just looks beautiful. And a white reindeer to follow you around.
Yeah, he's cute too. It's cool.
Great. And as we mentioned, the replenishing snowball box. So that'll be fun to see how many people invest in all of those and throwing snowballs at each other.
And that'll be fun.
It sure will. And a Christmas variation of the bodice, the Yule one, the Yule velvet bodice, which, hey, that looks pretty nice too.
Yeah, that's another very elegant outfit for the ladies. Very, very nice for sure.
Sure is. Lovely. So we've got the bodice, the gloves, and the velvet and lace ankle boots. Very nice indeed.
And if they really wanted to top it off, they could put that little hat, the Yule hat on. That would look nice too.
It would indeed. Lovely. Okay, and again, time's running out. 11 days before Black Friday. So anybody who buys anything between now and December the 1st, 15% bonus on store credit, which is pretty well worthwhile.
Yeah, that makes it so when you buy a few things, you get more cash, you can buy a few more. That's what I was doing. It was working out really good.
Oh, absolutely. It's lovely. And just so that nobody forgets, there are a lot of rewards and expirations and things happening. A lot of the general rewards, all physical rewards, all in-person rewards, and player and town storehouses, add-on storehouses, will be expiring in 46 days. That's January the 4th, 2016. So, and also the price will increase for several add-on store items. So the message is, If you want it, get it now.
Yep.
Beautiful. And now we have the in-game community events that we talk about every week. And look, an awesome list as ever. The community does so much, don't they?
Oh yeah, they continue to just amaze me with how much they have running every single week.
That is for sure. So every week we've got the monthly $150 writing contest. November theme is thanks, goodwill and cooperation. The Unreliable Travel Guide, wonderful collection of short stories. The Avatars Radio, which enriches us so much. The NBNN Lunch with Jack and Laz every weekday. The Daily Wartime Event. PvP. The Tavern Respite every Monday at 8 p.m. Challenge Dungeon Run, Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. I wonder how many people actually get through the Challenge Dungeon.
Yeah, I heard they made it harder, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. The Paxley Working Hours on Tuesdays, Nervian Academy, Happy Hour Wednesdays, Gladiator Wars on Thursdays, Phoenix Republic PvE Nights Thursdays and Fridays, the Nervian Academy Roleplay Courses on Fridays, Shardfall Madness on Fridays, Vengeance Madness Fridays, and Astronomy Event on Fridays. So that's happening all the time, and that's just awesome. And on Saturdays, we have Working Hours at Paxlair, Church of the Dark Star, Saturday service at 11, followed by a Welcome Quest, and that's great. 6 o'clock, Elysium Social Nights, lovely.
Ah, that's new.
But yeah, it is. A whole series of activities with our friends inside and outside of the island and the Republic. Join us this week in Port Phoenix. Listen to some of Shroud's musicians play music from many varying instrument types. You want to watch? Take a seat. Got a new piece you want to show off? Well, come and play. You want to show off your whole band? Well, bring them out. Isn't that awesome?
That's very nice. So now we can have some up and rising bands show up and get to experience that. That'd be great.
That's lovely. Now that is a very worthwhile endeavor and well worth going, even just to look at and listen. We got the Vengeance Tournament at 8 o'clock and the Gladiator Tournament at also at 8 o'clock. Wonderful. And then on Sunday, we've got Exploring Novia with Royal Sexy, a Paxlair meeting at 8:30. Phoenix Republic Team Speak at 11. 12 o'clock, Violent Underground, a team tournament. Oh, wonderful. 1 o'clock, a Serenite Shopping Extravaganza. 3 o'clock, Gust Ball. 5 o'clock, the BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration, followed by the Gladiators Gridiron. Paxler at 7 o'clock, and Fishing with Winfield at 8. Very nice.
Very cool.
And upcoming, we've got Release 25 on December 17. Release 26, January 28. Release 27, February 25. And who knows what after that? I think we're getting closer to Alpha.
Yeah, they've talked about it. So, yeah, we don't know what their board says, unfortunately.
No, but it must be getting closer. With the pace that they're putting things in now, with all these new scenes that are going in, we must be getting closer to full features. And that's great.
Oh, it is. So much sooner that we'll stop wiping and we'll actually get strong characters. Yay.
Oh, won't it be nice? There won't be this feeling of pressure. Feeling that I have to do all this in the next few months because it's all going away. I can sit back, take my time, and gradually increase my character, explore the land, do all the quests. If I don't feel like doing a quest this week, I'll do it next week. Or the week after. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, no rush. And they're going to add more content later anyway. So, yeah, there's always something going to be to do. It'll be fun.
That's right, yep. And if I feel like sitting and doing a bit of crafting for a while, I'll just do that. and it's just great.
And then you'll be able to decorate your house without the fear of it getting undecorated again, and it's going to be great.
Oh, I know. It'll be lovely. Bring on the day, I say.
Oh, me too. I'm excited.
Yep. Okay, next item, BrightLocker. A new take on crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. Okay. Now, fellow ex-Originites Mark Rizzo and Ruben Cortez, members of the original Ultima Online Network Ops team from back in the day, they publicly announced BrightLocker, their new crowd publishing platform. It's the first platform to allow its community to actually participate in the funding, creation, selection, and development of games. Okay. Star Long commented that I've been privileged enough to have been asked to give a little advice on this project. I'm super excited for them and for the potential of crowd publishing. Go check it out. There's a beta coming soon with extra goodies if you sign up. Right. And they say, we wish our former Origin and Ultima Online colleagues the best of luck with their ambitious project. For more information on BrightLocker and to sign up for the closed beta, please visit www.brightlocker.com. Okay.
Very cool.
Interesting. Well worth looking at. And a project to back, it's Torment, the Tides of Numenera. It's a single-player isometric role-playing game set in the world of Monty Cook's new tabletop RPG setting, Numenera. Okay, a rich role-playing experience that explores similar deep personal themes. Good, there you go.
That sounds kind of cool.
Brilliant. Very, very nice. And that is the news of the week.
Very cool. Very good.
Lovely. And honestly, I have to say, as I have, I love the way the game's developing. It's just looking more and more complete all the time. Playing it is feeling more and more natural, more satisfying. And the only difficult part is switching it off and going to do something else.
That's the thing. Yeah, you've got to, you know, go do other things every so often. So, yeah, it's hard to do, though.
Oh, I know. You just think, well, I just want to get that little goal, and there's just this little thing that I want to do. An hour and a half later, you're still there, but it's fun.
Yeah, and everyone's yelling at you, hey, get over here, we're ready now.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, honestly. But hey, it's awesome, and I am just so glad that we're in on the ground floor and seeing all this amazing development.
Yeah, we get the head start, and once it launches, we'll already know which way we need to go. It's good stuff.
That's for sure. Absolutely. So, I guess we should get back into the game and keep exploring and finding out all these wonderful new things they've got for us.
Yeah, lots of new things to explore. I got some emotes to go find myself.
Yes, that's right. And I'm going to have to start talking to every NPC in sight, hoping to learn some more.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. I wonder if you can you kiss an NPC? Have you tried that?
Hey, I think I'll try.
Yeah.
Although if I kiss a policeman or a guard, they might throw me in jail.
But that's true, yeah. We'll have to see if that's been put in yet.
Yeah. I can always claim that I was drunk at the time and I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, that might get you out in a day or so, you know. Dr. Shaw might use that one.
Yes, I reckon he would. He'd do well with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can take us out and we'll get going on our gameplay again. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on a newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.